We're up to the final laws of the writing of a Sefer Torah. If we have a letter that we are uncertain as to whether the letter has lost its status or not, does this really look like a Yud or a Ches or a Tes or a Lamed? So you bring a child that's not too smart and not too dumb. So if they ever asked you to look at the letters, it's not a compliment. You bring in a child who's average. If he's too smart, then he'll figure out letters even if they lost their shape. If he's too dumb, then he won't figure it out just because it's slightly off. So you want an average kid. And if he looks at it and you ask him, what letter is this? And he figures it out, fine. We cover what's above that letter, what's before the letter and after the letter. The truth is that what comes after the letter very often can remain uncovered because that won't give away the letter. And very often, if he sees the scale of writing, that will help him decipher what letter it is.
Why? I think it's as hard that you can as easily make a mistake on the kid you pick as you can on the letter. If I had just say the Rav, where you go with his opinion? He should know what's
right. But sometimes the Rav says, "I'm not sure. Ask a kid." That's what we're talking about.
Right.
You look at a letter and you say, I see it as borderline. Did it lose its shape or not?
To know which kid holds into that category is extremely tough.
Now, a child will only help me when I'm in doubt whether it has the shape of a letter or not. And then I only use the child as a way of revealing, is this discernible as that letter? Let's say we are confident that this does not constitute a letter, that it's lost its shape. Let's say you wrote an aleph, and one of the legs is not touching, or any similar issue. Now, the kid will look at it, and he'll tell you that's an aleph, even though it's not touching. But halachically, I know it's lost its shape. It's a broken aleph. Pasul, then it's disqualified, and a child can't help you there. What happens if a kid looks and he says, I don't think so, and the kid looking over his shoulder says, sure, it looks like a yod. So then you bring more kids. You go by the majority. Some congregations have it that every Friday there's a scribe that goes over that week's parsha. When I first came to Kochav Yaakov, I tried to do this. I would go over every week.
You actually went over the parsha?
Yeah.
I hope you got a bonus for that. You deserve it, man.
It's a great way to teach kids, though, how important accentuate every letter, get them involved too.
Also. How common is it for such an error to come into?
So today our Sifrei Torah are much better. When I was a kid, we didn't have computer checks. No. It would happen 3-4 times a year that they'd find a mistake in the Sefer Torah. I remember seeing it all the time. Now, I'm telling you, all the time, I mean, you know, once in our minyan, once in the next minyan, but it was a common thing. You heard every 2 or 3 months that shul had to stop their Torah reading because the Sefer Torah was pasul. When I entered the rabbinic position in Kochav Yaakov, so I went to many rabbis and asked them for advice. So one of the rabbis told me, one thing you have to know down pat are the laws of a mistake in a Sefer Torah. When that comes up, they want you to rule on the spot. And I'm thinking like, I haven't seen that in a decade. Heck, how often does that come up? So it used to come up often, a few times a year. Nowadays, we're much better. Baruch Hashem, we're okay. Today we have systems where a computer checks that you're not missing a letter, that letters... How it works? That's a good question. In truth, it's more complicated than people realize. People think you just scan it in, and really, a lot of it depends on the skill of the guy scanning it in and the skill of programming. Not all computer checks are created equal. You're right. People don't realize.
So you'll still find a mistake occasionally.
For sure. For sure. Now, mistakes also happen. If a guy spits on a Torah as he's making the blessing, or the Baal Kore puts the Yad on the Sefer Torah, and he can scratch off a letter. So it happens. So it's a good custom, he says, to have a sofer reading every Friday. I didn't find a sofer who was willing to do it. Believe me, I tried. Mitzvah likot ha-parsha v'erev Shabbat b'sefer Torah sh'atidin likot bo b'Shabbat. So there's a mitzvah on every Friday to do your Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum, to read through the Parsha and the Sefer Torah. So that the idea is, if there's a mistake, you'll catch it. So today we don't do that, but it's a good thing. Meaning those who could, it's very nice. Sefer Torah Shem Tzabu Psul, if they found something disqualifying in the Sefer Torah, Minan Chutzah Tzachzir Sefer Torah Psul Tchila La'echal V'chakach Motzin Sefer Torah Acher. The Minigin Chutzlaretz is that first you return the Pasul Sefer Torah, then you take out another one. Minag Yerushalayim, the Jerusalem Minig is, Mevin Sefer Torah Acher Bo'od HaRishon B'Teva, U'Masrin Shneim Yachad L'Achar HaKriya. That you bring out another Sefer Torah, and when you finish the reading, you bring them both back. So, two minhagim. Why the Jerusalem minig is, you put them both back together, meaning you don't put back the Pasul one right away. Now, the minig is also that when the Sefer Torah is Pasul, we put the belt on the outside as a sign that something was found disqualified. You don't put the belt on the inside of the mantle, you put it on the outside. And with that, we've concluded the laws of a Sefer Torah where a mistake was found.